Well, welcome everybody. It's been a great series. many thanks to all of our speakers. Some really interesting views and understandings of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shunryu Suzuki. And a big thanks to all of you for coming and taking time out of your evening schedule to be with us. It's nice. It's nice to be together. It's very encouraging in our practice, and it's great to see you this evening as well. In today's chapter, Shunryu Suzuki said, "When you are practicing Zazen, do not try to stop your thinking. Let it stop by itself. If something comes into your mind, let it come in and let it go out. It will not stay long. When you try to stop your thinking, it means you are bothered by it. Do not be bothered by anything. It appears as if something comes from outside your mind, but actually, it is only the waves of your mind. And if you are not bothered by the waves, gradually they will become calmer and calmer. In 5 or at most 10 minutes, your mind will be completely serene and calm. For me, it takes a little longer. At that time, your breathing will become quite slow, while your pulse will become a little faster. It will take quite a long time before you find your calm, serene mind in your practice. Many sensations come, many thoughts or images arise, but they are just waves of your mind. Nothing comes from outside your mind. Usually, we think of our mind as receiving impressions and experiences from outside, but that is not a true understanding of our mind. The true understanding is that the mind includes everything. When you think something comes from outside, it means only that something appears in your mind. Nothing outside yourself can cause any trouble. You yourself make the waves in your mind. If you leave your mind as it is, it will become calm. This mind is called Big Mind." The title of this chapter in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind is Mind Waves. That's a pretty cool title. Scientists have identified alpha waves, beta waves, delta, gamma, and theta waves, a veritable Greek alphabet of mind waves representing different states of consciousness and activity levels in the brain. Like waves in the ocean, where one would be hard-pressed to find a distinct line between wave and ocean, so similarly it goes with your mind, your practice, and dharmic reality. The mind, the waves, our practice, and all reality are indistinguishable. And yet, we need our small mind to make our way day to day, get food on the table, talk to other people. Shunryu Suzuki notes, in essence, that we can sense, perceive, and act in this world with what he calls small mind. It's the front end, the user interface, that creates a mental model of immanent reality. The back end, the parts that we cannot see, our big mind. The phenomenal small mind can only approach the outer edges of noumenal big mind. Some would call this God, harking back to last week's talks. The outer edges of the noumenal big mind in the liminal human space that is our awareness of practice, or what Dogen Zenji called practice enlightenment. In other words, small mind, the awareness in our daily lives, going about constantly weighing desires and deciding which ones to action on. But in the pauses between this ceaseless activity of picking and choosing and trying to satisfy our cravings is the sublime, reified place of practice. Zazen. Whether this is sitting on the cushion, or walking, standing, or lying down. But how does one know small mind versus big mind? And what can I do with this information? How would it change my views and bring some amount of peace and what Suzuki Roshi calls imperturbable composure here and now, moment after moment? Huike approached Bodhidharma and asked him, "How can I pacify my mind?" Bodhidharma said, "If you bring me your mind, I will pacify it." Huike responded, "I have searched for my mind and I cannot find it." Bodhidharma said, "Boom! Your mind is now pacified." Is this to say that even daring to search for small or big mind is the wrong way to go about this? Perhaps. Huike, though, seems to be first concerned with quieting the mind, not finding the mind. So why does Bodhidharma direct Huike to find it? Why not just say, "Hey, come sit right down next to me, pull up a rock, and we'll sit together facing this wall for a few years, and then, after a while, you'll really be in the zone, dude." But no. That's not what he said, for various reasons, because to merely suppress the noise in the mind, that doesn't work for long. The mind latches on to another problem to get solved, or another perceived slight to be revenged, or wrong to be righted, and the noise continues. A tried and true way to quiet and focus small mind, a method going back to Shakyamuni Buddha, is to understand what the mind self is and what it isn't. To examine small mind self is to begin to sense big mind non-self. And when we sit in Zazen facing the wall for a few years, you and me, we begin to see that small mind self isn't anything like what we thought it was. In fact, that small mind self that we thought is merely a little white lie. Let me explain. If I were to title this chapter, it would be Big Little Mind. Has anyone seen the interesting series a few years ago, Big Little Lies? Well, there were some terrific actors in the series: Nicole Kidman, Zoe Kravitz, Laura Dern, Reese Witherspoon. It takes place in an affluent conclave in Monterey, California. Each of the characters in the story is part of a web of little fabrications of the mind, little myths, little lies that they need to tell themselves or others to get through their busy day. The single mother needs to dress a certain way to maintain status in her workplace, a different way to keep up with her friends. And another person tells herself that her marriage is going okay despite her husband's verbal and physical abuse. She feels trapped, thinking that there is no way out other than continuing this lie. The abusive husband is terribly unhappy in his venture capital firm, though he ignores any idea of getting out and giving up that income. He is emotionally stunted and trapped, having no self-awareness of the miserable state he is in or the harm he is causing. There are other little lies involving extramarital affairs and, even worse, rape. These little lies are told ostensibly by each of the characters to protect someone, if not themselves. But the thing is, little lies add up. Each little lie in the story adds up to a big, huge catastrophe of life and death at the end of the season. And everyone is complicit in that catastrophe. Consider the state of civility and kindness in this country right now. There are seemingly a lot of people who harbor little lies about the ill intentions of other people, how good or bad their own lives are at this moment. Lies about what's really important in our society, in this country, and across borders. That life is a zero-sum competition, and the worst lie of all, that there is nothing that we can do. And what about the state of the earth? We delude ourselves about how our consumption and waste and its impact on the planet and other sentient affect other sentient and insentient beings. Every little action that we do will have big implications. Little actions have big impacts down the line. The line between little and big is an illusion. It's a continuum. It's one big ocean. Just like our minds, our practice, this reality. We sit on our cushion, and small mind is loud and persuasive. Thoughts coming and going quickly. I've got important matters to think about. I need to solve these problems. I have to plan everything out for today to the finest detail. And so goes small mind with these little white lies. Of course, it's been conditioned over many, many years to do this. Small mind self is just trying to look out for us, to protect us, to keep us safe. But when we sit in Zazen, small mind self begins to merge with big mind. The lines blur. We can see that the thoughts arising from small mind self are simply phenomena, objects to be aware of, a process to study, and very much a part of the way things are. This process that we go through is a crack in the ceiling to let the light in, to give a small mind, to give our small mind a peek at big mind. Shunryu Suzuki goes on, if your mind is related to something outside itself, that mind is a small mind, a limited mind. If your mind is not related to anything else, then there is no dualistic understanding in the activity of your mind. You understand activity as just waves of your mind. Big mind experiences everything within itself. Do you understand the difference between the two minds? The mind which includes everything and the mind which is related to something? Actually, they are the same thing. But the understanding is different, and your attitude towards your life will be different according to which understanding you have. The idea of small mind and big mind that Shunryu Suzuki talks about is foundational in Nagarjuna's masterpiece, the Mula Madhyamaka Karika, that Kathy Fisher led a seminar series on. It talks about the relational and the absolute, small mind, big mind. It's a brilliant explanation of the limitation of our mind, our six senses, which remember includes thought, and the expansiveness of the dharmic world that is beyond our comprehension. This seems to be the answer to Dogen's quandary that set him on his journey, leaving his Tendai teachers in Japan for Song-era Chan teachers in China. Recall that Dogen Zenji had this nagging toothache of a problem. Why should we exert ourselves in practice in the face of original enlightenment? If we are all Buddhas already, if we are all Buddha, if we are all Buddha mind, why do we need to bother to practice in the first place? The answer that Dogen seems to have arrived at is, though we are all part of Buddha mind, there are obscurations that prevent us from full realization without practice. Practice is realization. Realization is enlightened activity. Enlightened activity is big mind. Practice is big mind. Small mind, when it is able to perceive big mind, is practice, religious practice. Religious feeling, religious expression is not something to be afraid of. Shunryu Suzuki again. That everything is included within your mind is the essence of mind. To experience this is to have religious feeling. Even though waves arise, the essence of your mind is pure. It is just like clear water with a few waves. Actually, water always has waves. Waves are the practice of water. To speak of waves apart from water or water apart from waves is a delusion. Water and waves are one. Big mind and small mind are one. When you understand your mind in this way, you have some security in your feeling. As your mind does not expect anything from outside, it is always filled. A mind with waves in it is not a disturbed mind, but actually an amplified one. Whatever you experience is an expression of big mind. Just as we know there is a slippery slope, not even a hair's breadth between big lies and little lies, so is there no containment that encompasses small mind or big mind. Everything is big mind, including all the stories that can ever be spun from small mind. As waves are how we experience the vast ocean, so is our practice the gateway to big mind, a way to live in this world and at the same time dissolve the bonds of separation and enter the luminous liminal dimension of boundless truth. Thank you for your attention and for being here. All right. So, we're going to go into breakout rooms. The question is, what is small mind? What is big mind? That's the main question. And then you can riff on, like, what do you experience in Zazen? How do you experience that in your daily life? But it's basically what is small mind and big mind?